Welcome, everybody, to the Worst Take Network and the San Diego Padres show edition. So just to start it off, right now the Padres are 7-6, 2.5 games out of Colorado for the first place spot in the division. And honestly, for me, I feel like they've been playing solid. I'm looking forward to this season. I think that they should be a playoff team if we could kind of have some too early projections, I guess. But I've been really happy what I've seen overall. There's some things that need to get cleaned up, I'd say. And probably one of the biggest issues that has been the case so far is the second base spot. So I figure we can just start out right there with second base. Lately, it's kind of been mostly Profar, some Gray Garcia. Profar has been struggling to hit, but he's generated a lot of walks. So his on-base percentage is at 244. So not very good. But then you think about that he's batting 81. He is batting 81, which is pretty atrocious. but having a 244 batting or on-base percentage isn't too bad. So, I mean, I've liked that his approach has been solid. Last night against the Dodgers, he walked twice, didn't get a hit, but got on base half of his at-bats. So I'm not super concerned with this spot. I think that it could be better. I mean, it definitely could be better. It hasn't been good, but I think it's one of those things where Profar's kept his approach, and we kind of know who Gray Garcia is. So let's start out with Chase. Chase, what are you thinking about the second base battle so far?
I think Garcia is just going to get more playing time than Profar, just because Profar hasn't been hitting as much, and Profar might just take a DH spot every now and again just to either get those at-bats or just if we want to get out a pitcher early, because Profar does take a lot of strikes. He looks at a lot of pitches, lengthens his at-bat. But Garcia will be the one that will tend to get the hits, which will lead to more RBIs and more often than not help the team more. What about you, Isaac?
So last night, those two walks with Profar are obviously important, but they become more important when you have Fernando coming up next. But as far as hitting goes, I mean, Matt nailed it. He's batting .81, you know, and Garcia's doing better than that. I think adding Cronenworth to that mix and being able to put him in there, I think that would help us more. I mean, he's naturally a shortstop, so putting him at second base wouldn't hurt. But if we're just talking about those two guys, I mean, it's a matter of opinion. I think I prefer Profar. I mean, he had a deep, deep, deep foul ball last night, which barely missed. He gets on, but, you know, it's really just a matter of opinion.
I got a question.
Yeah, I like that you bring up his, like, foul ball and his good contact and stuff, because I think it's just one of those things where he's basically just kind of a bit unlucky, you know? And obviously, a lot of hitters in baseball are going to be relatively streaky. Profar is not going to hit .081 for the whole season. You know, like, that's something that's going to change. Yeah. So I'm not super concerned about it moving forward. But I think that Gray Garcia and him are kind of – they've kind of been, like, switching off almost when Profar was supposed to basically, like, take the job in the beginning of the year. And you brought up, was it Chase, you brought up Cronenworth?
I did.
Okay, Isaac, you did. Cronenworth, you brought up, he's a natural shortstop. I mean, the dude can do anything, apparently. And he has been absolutely raking. Last night he hit a double, had a home run on, was that Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday. And he's been really good. So I think that he's going to be in that, kind of be getting some starts at second as well. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because you brought up that Profar could also DH from time to time. Garcia can play third and short if Tatis and Machado ever need a break. So moving forward, this could turn into a three-person battle, which if they haven't had a ton of production, like Profar hasn't had a ton of production, definitely. Like, the competition's great.
I do have a question for you guys. If Hosmer ends up missing more time with this gastrinitis, do you think Tingler could start Myers at first and then take Cronenworth the second, and then have Oliveras and Naylor fight for right field, and either Garcia and Profar fight for a DH spot, or vice versa?
So as far as what I want, I would like to see Naylor in right field. I like Oliveras too. I can go, you know, that's also just a matter of opinion. I do want to see Cronenworth starting. I want to see, you know, he's hot right now. I don't see a reason to take him out of the lineup. And obviously, Will's hot right now too. I mean, we obviously hope that Hosmer comes back, but in the unfortunate event that he doesn't, I think Myers at first, Cronenworth at second, and then I guess maybe a rotation of Naylor and Oliveras would be good depending on if a lefty or righty's pitching.
So I got to say, I think that they should do nothing with Will right now. Just keep him in right field, maybe DH from time to time, like exactly what they've been doing. Because Myers has shown that he's really a streaky guy. And right now, he seems real happy. He's had like a couple weird jumps on the ball, but his fielding in right field has been totally fine. And he's been the best hitter on the team. He's hitting .302. That's higher than Tatis. And he has a 1.109 OPS, which is a little bit higher than Tatis as well. And also him, Tatis, and Grisham each have 4 home runs. So he's been the best hitter on the team. Now, can he keep that up? I don't know. We've seen Myers get super hot like this. But I think a lot of the issues that have happened just in Will's career is, hey, let's bounce you around. Let's toss you here. Let's toss you there. Oh, you're going to try to play third base. And it's almost like it's just overwhelming, where I think it's like, I don't think they're going to move him. And at first, like at the beginning of the year, I was like, oh, you should put Will at first base sometimes. I think if he just has a spot, like, hey, I'm the everyday right fielder, and sometimes I'll DH, sometimes I'll be on the bench, but like for the most part, I'm the everyday right fielder. I think that's a perfect role for him. And I think it's something that if they just leave him in that role, maybe it pays a ton of dividends and he keeps hitting throughout the season, where it's just not an overwhelming year. So that's kind of where I stand with Will. And then first base, if Hosmer's not back, I think just keep letting Cronenworth play first because he's been great.
Yeah. As far as Myers goes, I think another thing that helps him is that, you know, he's going to be able to see a lot more fastballs with the way our top of the lineup, aside from Machado's hitting. You know, Grisham has 4 home runs. Tatis has 4 home runs. Pham is, you know, he's doing good. It's just going to give him more opportunities to see his pitch, you know, and be able to go deep and provide us with those RBI doubles in his home runs that he's been hitting lately.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've been super, super excited with Myers because I've been someone that's really critiqued Myers over his time in San Diego, but I mean, Will's been great this year. Super, super happy with him. And Grisham as well. I think Grisham's kind of the next guy I think we should get into here. Grisham, obviously, last night got thrown out at the plate in a very close game, a very good game, too. Even though the Padres lost, it was a very good game. They were down, what, 7-2 at one point, came back 7-6, final play at the plate. Machado lines out. And Isaac, Chase, we were talking about this earlier. It looked like he smoked one down the line and potentially ended the game with a game-winning hit. But still, Grisham last night, 1-for-4. He had a nice single in the ninth. But the big thing with Grisham has been his power's been great. He has 4 homers, and he's just looked good. I do think there's some concern for his fielding. He bobbled the ball a couple nights ago, and last night you guys were talking about that he might have had an error, or like it could have been called an error, but he's had a couple question marks like fielding wise, but like his hitting has been spectacular.
Yeah, he's been hitting the ball. He's been smoking it. I mean, aside from he has great range in the outfield. Just yesterday, he was a little dicey on the field, and obviously, you know, that tag up could have gone either way. It was a bang-bang play. But his power is definitely on display right now. He is smoking it. Like, I didn't really expect it from him, but he has 4 home runs. You know, he had a really clutch hit last night to get Tatis to third. And then, you know, he's just all around a great acquisition so far. I'm, you know, very impressed.
I am too. We haven't really had that left-handed bat in the lineup that can do damage. We had signed Hosmer to be that guy. He was in his first two seasons, and he started to come around this season, but then he's now on the DL with gastroenteritis. So I think him and Cronenworth being that solid left-handed bat that we need, but Grisham providing more power, is a great addition.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And then the other kind of position battle, I guess, that I wanted to talk about today was between Mejia and Hedges. And this one has been everything but spectacular. Hedges is hitting 100, and Francisco Mejia is hitting 095. So really, 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 really low numbers there. And my thing is, I think we know exactly who Austin Hedges is. And surprisingly, the thing about Austin Hedges is always like, oh, he's been so great defensively. This year, he's struggled. He had a pass ball last night, I want to say, maybe the night before. Like, it just not looked good behind the plate. He's been calling good games. He had a couple. I think he threw a guy out at first, or maybe it was third. But his pass balls have been a little bit concerning because, I mean, Francisco Mejia has been fine defensively, at least from what I've seen. And I know he probably doesn't call as good of a game that Hedges does, but neither of them have been hitting. I think Mejia will eventually come around, but Austin, there's no reason to believe that Austin will come around, in my opinion. Chase, what are you kind of thinking with this catcher battle?
I do think, well, here's the thing. I think it comes down to pitcher's preference on who calls a better game. Because if you look at that first inning with Patino's debut, he looked a little rough and had some just bad luck. Couple weak ground balls, but then Hedges went and called two low and inside pitches and ended up with the Jock Peterson home run. But then the next inning with Mejia, it was, I think, well, 1-2-3 inning. If not, he had one hit and looked flawless after that. So I think it's up to the pitchers on who calls a better game. And I think Mejia just will come around offensively more than Hedges will. So I'd rather see Mejia at the plate. And plus, he's a switch hitter and can hit from both sides of the plate, which means you don't have to really worry about, oh, this guy is facing a rough right-handed hitter, he's going to have to face him right-handed as Austin Hedges would. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, as far as the catching situation goes, I think pitcher's preference is definitely the way to go. It's just, you know, if they're both going to be batting 100 or lower, I prefer Hedges just because of his defense. Obviously, Mejia has been a letdown so far. Even last season, I feel like he wasn't a great hitter. But we know what he can do if he gets on and, you know, gets on a nice little hitting streak. But right now, I just think, I mean, I obviously feel like Hedges is a guaranteed out, but Mejia feels the same right now. So, that's another thing. It's just whatever your opinion is, whoever you prefer.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I've always really believed that, like, hey, give Mejia a chance, let Mejia start, like, let him be the full-time starter. I think that would do him a huge benefit. Yeah. I mean, the dude, of course, he famously had a 50-game hitting streak in the minors, and that's like his big like calling card, I guess. But last season, he hit 265. 754 OPS, not that great. I mean, it's okay. It's not bad by any means, but just like okay, like average. He seemed like he's been improving as a catcher throughout his time with the Padres, at least. Because I remember like it was like, oh, he's like real bad, like right when he got traded for, and then like, no, he's made some improvements. And I heard that last spring and this spring, he's been doing better, like progressively better, but he hasn't brought the pop from the bat. So that's the big issue with him. And that was the whole thing. It's like, I think he was like a 75 or 70 to like an 80 hitting grade as a prospect, something really high. And we just haven't seen that. And I could start out with you, Chase, because you were giving me some numbers earlier. But Torrens and Campusano are the two guys in the minors. Torrens is probably the guy more likely to be called up earlier. Luis Campusano, the other catcher, he's projected to come into the league a little bit later, However, he's the higher graded prospect. So any idea on if, or any like projections for those guys moving forward? Do you think one of them is going to get called up? And I, Chase, you could start it off. I also want to hear your opinions too, Isaac, because I'm just really interested on how this is going to work, because I think that the Padres are going to get a little bit impatient with maybe not Hedges. It seems like they know what Hedges is, but with Mejia, and kind of be like, all right, dude, like we've given you your opportunity and we haven't seen anything. We're trying to make a playoff run and like this 95 average just isn't cutting it. So Chase, you want to lead that off?
Yeah. For pure catching wise, if that's what we're looking for, they'll probably go with Torrens first. Torrens can hit. We've seen it. He hit 300 in Double A with a 500 slugging and a 873 OPS, which is great for a catcher. He's already had some time in the MLB since he was a Rule 5 prospect and had to stay on the Padres team for a full year. And I'm kind of looking forward to see how his minor league seasons have shaped his hitting prospect-wise into the league. And plus, from what I know, is he's a better defender than Campuzano, and Campuzano's more of a offensive-minded catcher like Mejia. So I think the quick fix right now would be Torrens in this season.
I don't really have a preference. I just think, what do we have to lose by sitting Mejia or Hedges? I mean, as you know, brought up earlier, they're both batting 100 or lower. All we're asking for is to bat 200 or higher. You know, it's not. It's, I feel like it's not much to ask for, and good defense, obviously. But as far as the catching situation, we obviously just want someone to be able to hit. Because at the bottom of the lineup is where the catchers are normally for our team. You know, the guys are getting on, and then Hedges or Mejia comes up, and it's like our hope, you know, our hope just goes way down because we just think, oh, they're probably going to get out. So we obviously just want a guy to come in and provide us with some base hits in timely situations. As I said, I have no preference.
Yeah, I think that we'll probably see Mejia and Hedges, them tandeming, I guess, at catcher for a little bit longer, but I definitely think there's kind of a short string with them that they might kind of be out of luck here soon. And I've been wanting Austin to just kind of be like that. Okay, he's that backup catcher, not a like 60-40 split, but like he is a legitimate backup and just let Mejia have it. I think that they started to do that last year. And Mejia got into kind of a stride. I don't know if that would be the case, though. I mean, Mejia's had a lot of opportunity. Maybe a little bit more will help him out. Maybe he's just slumping right now, and he's going to break out of it, and we'll see that hit tool that we've been hoping to see. But I definitely think that Torrens or Campuzano will be called up, and I do think it would make more sense for Torrens to be called up, just because he's already played in the pros. He didn't do too well. He hit 163 in 123 at-bats. However, that was in 2017, so he's probably progressed a lot. He's still not that old of a player. And I think that it's just time where it's going to – the patience is running dry. So I think that it's about time to move on. Any last things from you guys on the catcher position?
Yeah, I just wanted to add one more thing. I would like to see Hedges come in as a defensive replacement for when the bullpen starts to come in. As long as it's not too early, I'd like to see Hedges catch maybe the 7, 8, 9 or just the 8 and 9 innings, because it seems that Yates and Hedges have a better chemistry than Mejia and Yates. Just from the small sample size going back to last year when he struggled with the Dodgers, and then maybe part of the early struggles, because if you notice when Yates and Mejia were the battery, that Yates and Mejia always had to like come out, or Mejia had to come out and clarify things, what they were throwing. So I don't know if that could be attributed to Yates' struggle or not, but I do want to see Hedges more in the 7, 8, 9 innings catching wise.
Yeah, that's a good point, Chase. I like that idea a lot. I feel like obviously Hedges has more chemistry with most of the guys, so I definitely agree with that point. But you know, at the end of the day, we just want to see our catchers hit. I mean, I don't feel like we're asking for much.
Yeah, I'm fully on board there. And you brought up that seventh, eighth, nine type of spot here so far for the Padres. And I like the idea of having Hedges come in. And he's done well. It seems like he's made a couple plays late in the games. And I think he threw the guy, when he threw someone out, I believe it was late in the game. I could be wrong on that, but I don't know. I think that's a fine thing to do, especially if say you have a two like a 3-run lead, and it's like, hey, Yates and Pomeranz really prefer Hedges over Mejia. And I mean, Hedges has been like told, okay, this is like one of the best defensive catchers in the league. So I have no issues with that moving forward. But I think that one thing that's in it's been a struggle, but by no means a concern, and that would be the relief pitching. It's been really bad. Really bad. But I think that it's one of those things. Hey, Pagan, Pomeranz, Yates, those are the guys. They're going to be fine. Pagan struggled a lot early in the season, and his last outing was solid. Yates's last outing, he allowed a home run that was absolutely demolished, but then he struck the next three guys out. So it's like, hey, it looks like he's kind of settling in somewhat. So, and the home run was to Cody Bellinger. So, like, it's not too concerning. I mean, Cody's a great player. So, I don't know. I'm fine with like the bullpen. I'm not too concerned. There are a couple guys that I think get too much time. That would be Matt Strom and Craig Stammen. But Isaac, what are your thoughts so far on the bullpen? Do you think it's just kind of, I think it's kind of a fluke thing. Do you feel the same way? Are you worried about the way that we've been substituting the players in? What are just your overall thoughts on how the bullpen's looked so far in the 2020 season?
Yeah, so far, I wouldn't say I'm concerned for Kirby, nor would I say I'm concerned for Pagan or Pomeranz. I mean, anyone that's not Craig Stammen or Matt Strom, I'm not necessarily concerned about them. But as far as those two guys, I mean, I personally don't want to see them on the mound that much anymore. I mean, how much of a sample size do we need before we finally decide, okay, let's give the other guys more opportunities rather than these guys? Javi's been okay. Drew's been great. I mean, Kirby's been a little shaky, but we know what he can do. But I feel like it's just a little fluky right now, you know, beginning of the season. We're just gonna have to see how things play out with our bullpen.
My concerns are is that some of the bullpen guys have been left in far too long, even after they've struggled through a third or two-thirds of an inning. Like, it was a couple games ago when Tim Hill went in. I think it was the first game against the Dodgers. He hit two people and walked one in the next inning. And his pitch count was already probably in the mid-20s, and Tingler still hadn't gone out to get him or get another guy from the bullpen. And when you see a guy struggling like that and his pitch count getting up into the 20s and 30s, that's not normal for any reliever that's not like Perdomo or Strom or even possibly like Pierce Johnson that are used to going multiple innings. So that's my main concern with the bullpen is kind of misuse of certain guys. Because I see Tim Hill as mostly like a left-handed specialist, or he can get those right-handed hitters out, but if you leave him in too long, you saw what happened. He'll start to get hit and runs will start being produced by the other team.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Couple things to note. Right now, Kirby Yates has a 13.5 ERA. Drew Pomeranz has a 0 ERA, has not allowed a run in 5.1 innings. And then the other guy, Emilio Pagan, has a 9.64. Both of those will drop. That's where I don't have a concern. I do have a concern with the way that the substitutions have been. And I Chase, I think you nailed it. You brought up the Tim Hill situation, and I think that was the game. It was a game this week where I recorded it and I watched it in the past, and I texted you guys like, hey, what was up with the bullpen usage? Because the Padres were winning and then they ended up losing the game. I think it was the Dodgers series. But it was a game where Tim Hill came in, struggled, and then came back in for the next inning. And it was like, why is he still in the game? He should not be in the game. That was really odd. Also, Craig Stammen, maybe it's pronounced Stammen. I always mess with his name. But I just think that he should not be pitching in a close game. He should be a guy. Him and Matt Strom should only be pitching in games where you're either far ahead and it's like the sixth inning, maybe the seventh, and if they show any sign of not pitching well, then they're out. Or in games where you're down by a whole bunch and it's just like, okay, just let them throw them in because like the game's, you're already going to lose the game. So like Sunday against the Rockies, that's when you throw them in the game when you're going to lose and it seems pretty prevalent that you're going to lose. But I don't want them blowing any more games. So I'm kind of – that's where I'm really concerned is the usage. And Chase, I think you were right on with that. Isaac, are you kind of feeling the same way? Like, why are these guys in when they're struggling? Why are they not putting in specific pitchers? Where do you stand?
Oh, the amount of frustration I have when I see Stammen or Strom warming up is unmatched. I mean, as I said, what – you know, how big of a sample size do we need in order to, you know, find out like, hey, we shouldn't be putting these guys in when it's a one run, two run ball game. I mean, to me, even a four run ball game doesn't feel safe when Stammen's warming up. I mean, maybe that's just me, but I feel like us three can agree on that. We've seen Stammen blow leads continuously. And I mean, this season he's had some good outings. I want to see Javi pitch a little more. I know he's not doing great, but he does have a heater. Obviously, Patino is going to be coming out of the bullpen more. I want to see Pomeranz more, Pagan. You know, we're going to see those guys more, but I just feel like Stammen and Strom have been struggling too much to warrant the amount of time they're getting. Tim Hill's been fine too.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the Matt Strom and Craig Stammen. Those guys, I think that that's kind of one of those things where you go, hey, I think the Padres might need to trade for a bullpen guy if the season gets late. And it's like, hey, we need to add some depth. We need to, if we're going to make a run, we need another guy. And they already have three good players in the bullpen, and they haven't been performing that well. I think when those guys start performing a lot better, the whole bullpen will just look a little bit differently when you have, like, three guys that can just come in there, throw a shutout inning, and you're very confident that they're going to do so. And that's why I'm not super concerned. But Strom, I mean, we've seen him, obviously last year they tried to use him as a starter, didn't work out too well. He can be good at times. But I think he's one of those guys where, like, he can come in and you go, uh-oh, this is going to be a bad outing. And you just immediately can recognize that, which makes it kind of tough because you have to pitch to three batters now or pitch out of the inning. So I think that rule is honestly a big deal. I think that it's not really thought of. I also think that if a guy's struggling and he pitches against only three batters, take him out because they have been letting guys just stay in there. And it's like, dude, this dude is not – he's struggling. He's going to blow the game. And we've seen that two or three times so far this season. So I think it'll definitely improve, but – there's room for concern with how they've been used, and I think that we've addressed that. One final thing, you guys might have some more stuff to bring up, but this is the only thing that I'm kind of have had in my mind, and that would be Manny Machado. Machado is only hitting 200 right now. Last night he had a couple of hits where they were hard contact, but he went 0-for-4. He did walk once. Five guys left on base. Obviously, two of them were in the ninth inning when he lined out, and Chris Taylor threw a perfect throw to the plate to get out Trent Grisham. But he is just – it's been underwhelming. I think that's the word to use for it. Has it been concerning? No, I don't think we're there yet. But it's definitely been underwhelming. I'm not too worried about it. Like, you know the guy that Machado is. Last year was kind of a down year for him. However, I think that you could have kind of expected that. He hit 256, 32 home runs, 85 RBIs last season. Not a bad year by any means, but he just wasn't normal Manny Machado. And I think that he's going to eventually bounce back. I think that he just looks a little bit odd. Chase, I think you said that he looks a little just uncomfortable. But Chase, lead it off. What are you kind of thinking with Manny so far? I mean, are you concerned? Are you not too worried? Are you a little underwhelmed? Where do you stand right now?
I'm not that concerned because I believe he has a history of being a better hitter in the second half of the season. So I give it another 5, maybe 10 games before I start being like, okay, now we really need to do something about his approach if he doesn't start hitting better. But he's a staple at third base, guy has a cannon of an arm, gold glove caliber player. So I think we should just stick it out and just hope for the best. I'm not too concerned with his hitting right now. Isaac?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm concerned. I'm just a little frustrated because when you pay a guy that much, you don't really expect him to underwhelm you this much. You know, last year wasn't a crazy season by any means, but I mean, I wasn't necessarily mad about it. I expected it. But the questions start arising, you know, is there too much pressure because of his contract, or, you know, is there too much pressure being the leader of our team? Those kind of questions start coming up, but, you know, I'm not concerned. I think with these next two series against the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers, then we can really be concerned because, you know, 60-game season, we need to win these games. And Chase, you brought up maybe he is a better second-half hitter, but just this season, you know, it's hard to be able to afford that. Like, we need him now, which is unfortunate, the unfortunate truth to me. So we just got to hope for the best. You know, we paid him $300 million over 10 years, so we're going to ride it out, and we just got to hope for the best for Manny. I expect more.
There is one thing I also wanted to bring up. Do you think that since our fourth spot in the rotation really has been a combination between Joey Lucchesi and Cal Quantrill, and now that Patino's up, would you rather see Patino maybe start as an opener and then have Quantrill start, or just try to make a flat-out start and put Joey Lucchesi in the bullpen and go 5 right-handed starters?
Five right-handed starters sounds a little bit scary.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I don't know. I don't think it's time. And I know that we've talked about Joey and we've been kind of negative about him. I don't think he's great. I really don't. But, like, if he's the fifth starter and more like a fifth opener that he's been, I don't think it's bad. I would expect that if he continues to not perform that great, same thing with Cal Quantrill, Luis Patino will take that role. And I think that that's why he got called up, because it's like, hey, let's put some pressure on these guys. I don't think they're going to, like, move on from them yet by any means, but definitely something to monitor right now, just because I don't think that they'd be afraid to just be like, all right, guys, like, all right, Luis Patino is going to be that guy. He's taking your spot pretty much. So not super concerned, though. I think that Lucchesi will stay in that spot at least for a couple more starts. I think it would take out 4 starts at the least to get him moved. I don't know. Isaac, I know you're not a big Joey Lucchesi guy. What do you kind of think? Do you think Patino's going to take his spot?
I mean, right now, I want Lucchesi to stay in the rotation only because he is the lefty arm that we have. But, I mean, his velocity has gone down. His supposed curve doesn't move as much as I remember. And this whole Joey Lou Quantrill experiment just isn't working for me personally. That Rockies game that they threw was a little rough. But I'm not opposed to giving them more chances, only because we've seen what they can do. I don't expect them to be studs, but if they keep, you know, allowing a lot of runs, it's hard to put so much pressure on Patino only because he's 20. And we really don't know what he has yet, other than, you know, almost 100 mile an hour fastball. But, you know, again, he's only 20. I don't want him to rush into things if he doesn't feel comfortable with it. But I'm not fully opposed to Joey Lucchesi. I'd rather not see him in there for too long.
So in that case, if you think Lucchesi struggles for, let's say, Matt, go with Matt's estimation of he needs at least 4 starts. If he gets through his 4 starts and struggles in each one, do you think that warrants a call-up for Gore?
Absolutely.
So, okay. You say absolutely. One thing I've heard is that the reason that they have, and I don't know how much truth there is to this, but I've heard that the reason that they haven't called up Gore is because they just don't think he's quite ready yet. And if that's the case, then I don't want them to. Now, if that's not the case, which it very well could be, and maybe that's just like kind of a reaction of like, oh, Patino got called up before him, and that would make a lot of sense. But if they don't think Gore's ready, do not call Gore up, because like that is a dude that you do not want to mess up. I also think that Gore won't be called up and be put in the bullpen like Patino is. I think that he'll be an immediate starter, like they did with Chris Paddock, you know, like where it's just like, okay, he's in, he's starting this game. If he gets called up, it'll be like, okay, Mackenzie Gore has been called up and he's starting either like that night or the next night, you know, something like that. And maybe it happens this year. I don't know how we'll figure that out. I think there's actually, I said that there was only one more thing. I think there's two more things. First one being, do you guys think that the Padres would consider trading for another pitcher, a starter or a relief pitcher? Maybe a catcher or second baseman. We already talked about catcher and second base, so I won't get too much into that. But do you think there's a pitcher that this team wants to acquire maybe? Like, because that's something I think really could be the case. Like, hey, Joey's been struggling. We don't think Gore's ready. Let's trade for someone. We have the prospects. We have all these guys, you know. We can get the deal done, and we want to make a run this year. So, Isaac, you want to lead that one off?
You know, I don't really know who's on the trading block for the MLB in terms of pitchers. I think if we do want to acquire a pitcher, I definitely believe it should be a lefty. And, you know, the name that comes to mind is, you know, obviously Mad Bum, but he's not going to be available. And I can't really think of any lefties off the top of my head that might be available. But I definitely think, you know, if we're on the brink of playoff contention, or like, you know, getting one of those top spots in the playoffs, or even, you know, I definitely feel like we should. I don't see a problem with it. We have the prospects. We're in win now mode. I really do believe that. But, you know, as I said, I don't really know any pitchers off the top of my head that are on the trading block.
And neither do I. I don't think they will trade for a left-handed pitcher, a starting pitcher. They might go with maybe acquiring one more reliever if some of the guys don't shape up in the bullpen. But if Lucchesi continues to struggle, what I see happening is that they have both Gore and Patino brought up, because from what I've heard and from what I've read in multiple articles is that both of them feed off each other. So having them in the same level and having that sort of competition arise between the two could be very healthy and very beneficial to both of them, as like maybe shake off some nerves. They're just competing with each other on who becomes the better pitcher in the Padres organization. I think that will end up happening over than trading for an actual starter.
Okay. That makes a ton of sense. And then, of course, if you have those two guys, there's a third guy, a third young pitcher that they would probably be, that they'd be battling, I guess battling, I don't really know, kind of a competition even though they're on the same team, but that would be Chris Paddock. And he's been outstanding so far. But I think that'd be cool, like those young three guys, like, hey, let's run it basically. And I mean, you've heard kind of like some of the things that Fernando Tatis has said, basically like, hey, like, why not go try to win a championship? And I think those three guys would definitely bring that attitude. So if that's, I mean, I want to see Gore, but that's just kind of because I want to watch him. You know, I don't know if it's the right move from an organizational standpoint. So if they call up Gore, I know I said that, like, I didn't know if he's ready and stuff. that's just a couple things I've heard on like Twitter and whatnot. I don't know how much truth there is to that. But if Gore gets called up, I'm going to be super excited. So I hope that happens. One more thing I think that we got to talk about, and I don't know how we waited this long to talk about it, is Fernando Tatis Jr. The dude is so good. Last night, he hit that home run, and it was absolutely rocked. What was it, 435 feet, 430? I forget. But he absolutely, 430 foot. And I think if it was on line with the scoreboard, it would have hit off the scoreboard. The dude has been outstanding, and this is like the Padres guy. Like, yes, they signed Manny, but Fernando Tatis Jr. is the dude for this team, and this is the first time I've ever seen the Padres have a true MVP caliber player. Maybe you could say Adrian Gonzalez or Chase Headley. I think it was 2011 or 2012 when he was like pretty high up in the voting, but Tatis Jr. will win an MVP in his career, I could confidently say. And even though we haven't seen that much out of him, like, you just kind of get that feel from him where it's just like, this dude is on another level. Isaac, you wanna lead it off with Fernando Tatis? Because, I mean, shoot, I'm super excited for the rest of this year. And I think him leading the charge, and then Paddock and Lamet on the starting end, if they can fill in some of these holes, I think they have a chance to make a playoff run.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, based off last year and this year, you know who the lifeline of our team is. It's Fernando Tatis. That guy, we ride with Fernando, you know? Last night, you think of that rally that happened late in the game where, you know, obviously Grisham got thrown out, but that all started with the walk by Fernando. That bomb was by Fernando. I mean, that game against the Rockies where he went yard in the ninth inning, it's Fernando. I mean, we live through Fernando Tatis. That's our guy. That is the first MVP candidate we've had in a really long time. And I think I could speak for the Padres fans that's our favorite player. That's our guy, you know. And like you said, we signed Manny, but this is our guy right now and for the future.
Yeah, he is. And one of the things that I've love to see from him, and he has improved on it, is his defense. He's not ultra aggressive as he was last season, trying to make every play and make every throw to first. He's seen, like, I can make this diving catch, but if I try to throw to first, I might not make it and make an error, so he's held on to it. I've seen a couple of those plays, which I'm incredibly happy about. He's making progress with his bat. I'm very happy with where he's at, and I honestly think he will be our MVP. He is our MVP on the team, but he has a legitimate dark horse shot at winning MVP this year if he continues on his current pace.
Yeah, I mean, you look throughout the MLB, and who can you think of that's a more electrifying, exciting player than Fernando Tatis?
You could probably make the case Ronald Acuña Jr.
I love him, yeah, he's cool.
And you could say, you know, like Aaron Judge, but Aaron Judge isn't, like, electrifying. He's just, I mean, not in the same sense that Fernando Tatis is. I think that it's,
exactly.
And that's really, I think that gives him an advantage, though. It's like, hey, this is this up-and-coming team, and it's Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado. And even if Manny Machado's not, like, playing as well, like, it's pretty well-known that it's those two guys' team. And that's pretty remarkable when you consider that Tatis is, what, 21? So, just crazy. I've been super excited with him. Do you guys have anything else you want to end the podcast on, or do you think we should end it off with our praise of Fernando Tatis Jr.?
I think we should end it with the praise of Tatis Jr. What about you, Isaac?
Yeah, that's a perfect place to end, man. Like I said, 2020 MVP.
I certainly hope so. I think that would be fantastic. So thanks for listening, everyone, today. Obviously, Padres 7-6, not super great, but they've had – their issues are things that I think are going to get fixed. And their strengths, I think, are here to stay. So overall, good start of the year, solid first 13 games, and I think that we've seen that this team has the ability to make the playoffs and potentially make a little playoff run. So far, one of the better Padres seasons we've had in a while. And just want to say thanks for listening, and we will talk to you guys soon.